Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, March 10th, 2015. And with me today, I have a slightly larger than usual panel. And no, I'm not referring to potentially overeating. With me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
I am perplexed at your intro. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's thank you for being here. Dave Hamilton, how are you?
I'm good. I just assumed that you upgraded from your 11-inch MacBook Air to a 12-inch MacBook, and thus the larger panel of glass.
Oh, yeah, that was it. Yeah. Also, John Martellaro, how are you?
Good morning. I'm watching myself this morning.
That's great. Yeah. Hey, we have a sponsor this week, and that would be Harry's, the people that make the awesome razors, and I'm pretty stoked about that, and we'll be talking about them in a little bit. But first, I thought that it's about time that we like really get into the whole Apple Watch thing. Now that we've had some time for yesterday's announcements to really settle in and we could really think through a lot of this stuff. So, Dave and Brian, the reason I wanted to have you guys here today is because you both have history with watches, and you get to the market, and you have collected some.
Indeed.
And John, I wanted you here because you offer a perspective from outside of that part of the watch world, and so I just thought this would be kind of cool to put all of us together and really dive in to just this whole thing.
Johnny Sapphire Martellaro, right here and ready.
Well, there you go. So, Dave, you wrote a piece that went up this morning with your ideas on, or your thoughts on what's going to happen with the lifespan of Apple Watch.
Yeah, I titled it, How Long Will the Apple Watch Remain Useful? And you know, I look at this. And first of all, I want to say that I think the pricing of the Apple Watch for what you get is totally fine. I agree with your article yesterday, John, where you said that it's very, very reasonable. John Gruber posted something, you know, last week that kind of kicked this off again. And I even said something back in October when I was on Twit that, you know, I couldn't possibly expect the edition, the gold edition to be less than 10 grand. And of course it's not. I'm a watch geek, right? And that's why I don't think you're wrong, and obviously you're not wrong because Apple came out with it at those prices. But you know, I own watches that range in price from $50 to $10,000, right? And the latter is actually something that's appreciated over the last 7 years or so, which is great. You know, you spend a little money on something, and it's worth a little bit more when you sit on it for a while. But I'm in looking at the Apple Watch, I'm not sure. This whole thing started when I couldn't decide, or as I'm trying to decide, which, if any, Apple Watch to get. I have a lot of watches. I like the variety of them. And so part of me says, well, there's no point in having an Apple Watch because really the best utility that you're going to get out of this thing is if it is your daily driver, right? The watch that is on you all the time so that it's constantly doing all the health tracking that it can do. Plus, it's there for all of the notifications and all of that stuff. So that's step one. But I'm also not opposed to spending, you know, $400 to $800 on a watch that I'm going to use, not as my daily driver. I've done it before. I'll do it again. That's fine. So with that in mind, I started thinking, well, which Apple Watch do I get? And, you know, the thing is, when I go and spend $50 or $1,000 or $500 on a watch, I expect that that watch is going to be able to be useful for me for a long time. Right. You know, I've got a Citizen watch that's been passed down from my wife's family to me, and it's got decades of use on it. It's had a little bit of service, but, you know, it probably all in, I don't think there's been $500 spent on this watch, including its initial purchase price. Right. It wasn't an overly expensive watch when it was purchased, and I've put some money into it to fix it up, but not a whole lot. And so I'm looking at the Apple Watch and I'm saying, well, here's the thing. The difference between, and we'll take the Edition out of it. Again, I think it's priced fairly for what it is or what it's targeted to be. Mm-hmm. But let's look at what the normal human is going to spend on a watch, the normal user. And so you're looking at, either $350 or $400, depending on your size preference and the size of your wrist, up to probably, somewhere in that $900 to $1,000 range. The only real difference in the watch itself, if we take the bracelets out of it, the only difference in the watch itself is the Ion X crystal versus their Ion X glass, I guess is the nomenclature they're using, versus the sapphire crystal on the Ion X glass on the sport version, the sapphire crystal on the higher, on the regular version, and of course on the Edition. And what's the point? One of them is more impact resistant, i.e. the Ion X. One of them is more scratch resistant, and that's the Sapphire. The only reason scratch resistance matters, though, is if you're going to keep the thing for a very, very long time.
Sir, come on. You can, in any given moment, you can scratch your watch.
Right. But if you're going to, let me finish my point. But I get where you're going with this. If you're going to have to replace the thing every year anyway, because we know that the functionality, if we look at every other device Apple's made, and this watch is a piece of electronic technology in addition to being a fashion item, anyone that buys an Apple Watch right now is an early adopter, right? By definition. So therefore, yes, most of the people that buy an Apple Watch right now will probably want to have the latest and maintain their ability for that watch to be as functional as possible, which means probably replacing it when version 2 comes out, right? And so therefore, there's no point in getting sapphire glass on a watch that you're going to stop using in a year. You're right. You could scratch it on day one, but you know what? You live with it for a year. Out the window it goes. Get the next one. Good to go.
Dave, I got to call you a fretful nerd. My philosophy is that I've never bought an Apple product that I felt screwed me. And I don't think Apple's going to intentionally screw people by being capricious and put-offish and say, well, you spent $600 or $800 on a watch a year ago. Guess what? You need to buy a new one. I just don't have the feeling.
Have you just met Apple? Are you just now meeting Apple for the very first time?
I do not have the feeling that people are going to be sorry. They're not going to have buyer's remorse.
They're going to have total buyer's remorse. People have buyer's remorse over buying last year's iPhone.
If you spend $150, if you spend $200 more to get a sapphire crystal, you will enjoy not having it scratched when you bang it on the doorknob or on your desk, and you'll get good use out of it. And when a year rolls around, I have a feeling I'm going to still be very happy with my watch. It's still going to be functioning. It'll still be workable. It'll be upgradable. I even have the feeling that the guts are going to be upgradable, like the battery. I'm holding out for that. Well, it's something Apple hasn't revealed.
Replaceable.
Right. And I think the guts are going to be upgradable too, which would solve a huge problem. And I've written about that. I just don't think Apple's ready to talk about that right now.
Well, that's true. There's a lot of unanswered questions. The guts could be upgradable, right? The watch industry is known, especially with mechanical watches, is known for, when you buy a watch, certainly they recommend every 2 years. Some of them even recommend every year you get it serviced. But really, it's about every 5 or 6 years that you realistically need to get a watch serviced. And those services can cost anywhere between $30 and $1,500, really depending on the value of the watch and what needs to be done. But, typically the base price is in that range. So Apple could join the watch industry and say, hey, we're going to offer a guts upgrade. And that's totally possible and works great. Right up until the day that they iterate on the actual design of the case of the watch.
Right. And then I agree with you. Yes.
And I think, how long is that going to take? 2 years? 3 years? That's a really long time. I don't think so.
If I spend $550 on a watch and get 2 years use out of it, I'm going to be very pleased.
And that's another way of looking at it. That's right. But what if you could have spent $350 on the same watch? Well, then why not just do that?
Right. I'm addicted to Sapphire.
Why are you addicted to Sapphire?
Yeah, because I've had so many watches in my lifetime where I buy them and I scratch them the first week and I'm pissed. Mm. And I've had a Sapphire Rado watch in the past and it's impervious.
All right, John's like a nearly a fetish-like obsession with Sapphire aside.
Yep.
How about the idea, Dave, that I would rather have a stainless steel watch on my wrist for the next 2 years or the next year than I would a brushed metal aluminum one. I would feel more comfortable with it. I feel like it would look better, and it would certainly be a lot more interesting to me than having something with a rubber band or a plastic band.
I'm with Brian on that.
On my wrist.
You're echoing.
Yeah, well, you need to compare that. You know, there's the concept of third-party cases or third-party bands, I should say, for the watch, which we know will likely come, right? And
that
so
seems like a safe bet.
I think so. Although, is Apple, you know, does Apple have a patent on the way the band attaches, and therefore can they stop people from making lightning connector bands? You know, right?
I think we would have. It's possible.
I don't know.
I think we would have heard. We'd have heard that.
That's
but
right.
We're researching it right now.
Yep. So you know. So that aside, you know, I feel like how much difference is there? And again, this is there is a fashion choice here, right? So I'm not necessarily going to disagree with you, but you're wrong about, you know, whether you should get aluminum versus stainless, because you go get a third-party band on your aluminum. And maybe the band is, you know, maybe they don't change the form factor enough to negate the ability to use your existing band with next year's model or, you know, 2017.
Actually, that's the one thing that shouldn't change.
Well, it will, though. I mean,
the band, the band connecting mechanism shouldn't change.
But it will in 5 years. I guarantee you, it will have.
Yeah, changed. All right, 5 years, fair enough.
Yeah.
But it won't change model to model.
It won't have to change model to model, but
correct.
Eventually it will.
All right, I'll give you that.
Look. You know, iterative design is in Apple's DNA. It is. You know, you can't say one without the other, right? You know, if you're talking about Apple, you mention iterative design. If you're talking about iterative design, you mention Apple. They are one in the same. So for anyone to think that Apple will stop designing the watch because they've released the first version is crazy talk, right? So I know you're not saying that, right? You know, but it's important to remember this will change. That's the only thing that's guaranteed.
You're being too fretful. The fretful nerd. Dave, I'm going to buy whatever hell the watch, whatever, I'm going to buy whatever watch I want to buy, and I'm going to buy the watch that suits me, that I like, that I can afford. Like a lot of other people, they're going to go, I want this. I want that.
Yep.
I'm going to enjoy it. And I'm going to use it for a while. And when I'm ready to be replaced or sold or recycled, I'll do it.
I guess
I'll
it's
add
true.
To that you've largely changed my opinion on this, Dave.
Yeah.
Especially in that I will have to have next year's model for my day job.
Right, right.
But you still you're reminding me of the guy I knew in high school who said, you know, if everybody was honest with themselves, they'd admit that they like the same music as me.
Hey, I have to interrupt for a minute.
Right, you're not going to let Dave respond to that?
No, Dave gets to respond to that. But go ahead.
Dave got cut out of the Skype conversation for a minute. I'm not exactly sure what you just said, so maybe it's best I don't respond at all.
All right.
I lost about 10 seconds there on the Skype overlords got in my way. So
yeah, and that's actually incredibly funny timing for that. So, all right. Well, then this is a perfect time for me to really interrupt and talk about our sponsor, which is Harry's, the razor company. And I'm really excited that they are our sponsor, because this is the first company that makes a disposable razor blade cartridge that I think is actually worth paying for. And I'm very picky about when I shave. Although if you see me a lot when I've been in the mountains, you'd probably assume I don't even know how to shave. But that's beside the point. The real point is I'm actually very picky about how I shave and what I use when I'm shaving. And Harry's makes products that I'm actually really pleased to use. And I was very critical when I started trying them out, because I wanted to know just how well these really worked. And the shave that I get from a Harry's blade is totally on par with the shave that I get from the safety razor that I've been using for several years. And that's saying a lot, because I expect a very clean and very close shave. So you get all that, Plus, the pricing is just simply amazing. You can get a starter kit, the Truman set. That's what I bought. $15. And it includes the handle, a couple cartridges, the shaving cream or lotion, and a little carrying piece that fits over the cartridge head for when you're traveling so you don't accidentally cut yourself when you reach into your toiletry bag. $15 for that. You can get the Jimmy Chin set, which has a nicer handle, for $20. And then the Winston set, nicer handle yet again, for $25. And Harry's will send all this stuff to you, no shipping charges. So really great prices, no shipping. And it gets even better because they are offering all of our listeners a $5 discount off their first order. So if you go to harrys.com and use the discount code TDO for TMO, Daily Observations, very clever that way, you're going to get $5 off your first order. So you can actually get into a Harry's starter kit for $10 delivered. And I think that's absolutely fantastic. So so give their stuff a try. It's really great. I'm very pleased with their quality. And when you're trying out their stuff, not only are you supporting them, but you're supporting us because they're helping make sure that that we can continue to do the show. So go show Harry's some love. And that's at harrys.com and discount code TDO. And Dave, I'm actually kind of disappointed that you didn't hear what Brian said so you couldn't respond.
Thankfully, the technology overlords here have allowed us a back channel of communication. So I do know what Brian said. And you're absolutely right. Yeah, if everybody just followed the actual logic and reason of the universe that I can show you, then you'd make all the right decisions all the time. It's
You finally, know? Finally, we see the light.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying. I've been shining it at you for decades, but you know,
have, actually, I appreciate your.
You know, John, you actually make a fair point though that there is a fashion choice that's happening here, and you're making it eyes wide open, right? And that's really kind of the point of what I'm trying to say.
I'm not fearful that I'm going to be resentful. I'm not expecting buyer's remorse. I'm expecting to buy the product, use it, enjoy it, and move on.
Sure.
And I'm not really too concerned about buying the low-end model, lest I have wasted my money.
Right, right. Well, but again, you're making the choice for the higher-end model strictly from a fashion standpoint. And, you know, you're arguing that I think there's a slightly overstated case for sapphire here.
Well, I always scratch my crystals, and it bugs me no end that I've had crystals replaced.
I'm actually glad we had that conversation with John.
It annoys the heck out of me.
Because that's finally making sense to me, his whole weird sapphire
thing. Yeah. Yeah, you know, the glass that Apple's using on the Sport model is, in many cases, I believe, going to be better than sapphire, right? Because the problem with sapphire is that it is very scratch proof. It's extremely hard, but that's also makes it very brittle, and therefore makes it more likely to suffer a shatter when it's got a heavy.
Yeah, but I'm not going to be playing touch football with it.
No, I know, but you might drop the thing, and you know. So, and I've seen sapphire shattered. You know, Lisa got a watch a couple of years ago as a Christmas gift, and within a month, the crystal had shattered.
Yeah, I wore a Rado with a sapphire crystal for 10 years. I never had a problem.
I have sapphire.
Give it to Lisa, see what happens.
Yeah, I have. Well, thankfully she hasn't broken it again. I have sapphire and varying degrees of quality of mineral glass crystals on my various watches, and I have maybe scratched one of them, and it's the lowest of the lowest end, so it's probably the cheapest and softest mineral glass. I really think that the sapphire that Apple's got is going to be harder than the Ion X glass, but I don't think it's going to be that bad in terms of scratch resistance. It may work out that overall the Ion X glass is actually better. But there is this, you're not alone. There is this obsession with sapphire amongst us watch geeks, right? You know, oh my goodness, you know, we hold it up on a pedestal.
Don't tell Brian that.
And when it now, and he knows, you know, and when it was, you know, ballied about that, oh, the iPhone could get sapphire glass, we all went nuts until we realized, yeah, but the glass would need to be like a centimeter thick to keep from cracking. So, yeah, probably not. You know, we're not going to do that. So, I'm not overly convinced that the sapphire matters, but I get it. It's a watch, and they need to operate in this realm, and so they do that, and that's fine. But yeah, I don't know. Like I said, the decision that I'm making yesterday, I was thinking, okay, well, I'm in the, you know, probably $700 to $800 range. I want to do a, you know, a steel case and a, you know, steel band, I think, or maybe the, you know, the higher end leather looks actually kind of nice. And so I might go that route. And then I started thinking, gosh, you know, I'm just going to replace this stupid thing in a year. Why don't I just get the low end one? And in this sense, I'm in a different position than the average user or our listeners, but you know, I will wind up with some cases to some bands to test, assuming there are third party bands to do so. And so I'll probably be able to get those either at a discount or they might even be provided for free. So that, you know, does factor in slightly into my thinking, right?
My plan is to buy a 38 millimeter possibly and hand it down to my wife in a year with a new band.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can do that.
Yep. All right. Now, all three of you have experience with watches at varying levels. In this case, I'm the odd man out because I don't wear watches. And yet, I'm buying an Apple Watch. So I'll be going with the sport model. And the price wasn't the key factor for me. It was actually the glass surface because I have a fairly active lifestyle. I'm going to be using this outside, and I'll be mountain biking and climbing in the mountains and skiing and snowshoeing. I expect that if I'm running around with a sapphire glass surface, that I am running the risk of potentially shattering that. I would rather have scratches than shattered glass. So, as someone that hasn't worn a watch in decades, I'm going to be shelling out what we'll just say $400 for a watch. And you guys are talking about whether or not there'd be buyer's remorse and what happens when the new model comes out. I'm now very curious to see what happens 6 months from now when I've had the watch for several months.
Well, I think within 3 weeks you're going to know whether or not you're going to wear the thing.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, okay. So, there we go. All right. So I'm very curious to see what happens within the first month after I get the Apple Watch. And then I'm also very curious to see what happens when the next model comes out. Will I feel compelled to get it? Or will I feel bad that I now have the old model? I don't know. And of course, we don't even know if I'll even be wearing it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm curious to see. I mean, I'm going to get one because we talk about it here, and so I've got to have one, right? And I'm curious to see how much it becomes my daily driver, you know, how often I go to it. It'll be new and shiny for a couple of weeks, and so I'll probably wear it.
But I sent out a tweet yesterday that said the key to the Apple Watch is not being overwhelmed by all the different features, but how you can be selective to use the things that help you and make you smarter and more efficient as you need them and dispense with the things you don't need.
Yeah. I mean, I've had smartwatches. I had the Pebble and used it again for a couple of weeks and moved on. My son took it over. And granted, the Apple Watch will do more than the Pebble did, so maybe there's enough there to keep me roped in, but I'm not convinced that there will be.
I have a feeling Jessica's about to cut us off, but I really wanted to scream and yell about the Apple Watch Edition.
Did you really?
Yeah, oh, yeah. It annoys me.
What?
I don't even want it.
Do tell.
As we've discussed at length, spending $10,000 on a watch is not something I emotionally or philosophically or even logically have a problem with. When that watch is going to be worth $10,000 in a couple years and probably $13,000 in 10 years, or, you know, just to pull numbers out of the air. And Apple's watch will not be worth $10,000 in a year or two. And it won't have any resale value at all. It's just going to quickly deteriorate to its value in gold. And its value in gold can't be more than $3,000 at the absolute most.
Yeah, yeah, and that's true. I mean, it's certainly there will be some that people buy and keep under lock and key and keep in pristine condition, and then those might be collector's items. But the watch that's been worn and used normally and still kept in good condition, I don't think will appreciate in value like you would see with a luxury watch that was used the same way.
Yeah, because its functionality will deteriorate compared to everything. Actually deteriorate in both real world and relative world. Wait, absolute world and relative world conditions.
Well, keep it long enough, Brian. It'd be like the Apple One. You'll be able to sell it for $50,000 in 20 years.
Right. But then it's got to be in the right condition. But in 5 years, I don't see that piece of technology doing even the same thing that it did the day you bought it. And that's because, as we've seen with the iPhone, you know, there's OS updates that expire out apps and functionality just fades away. And that's okay. That's what we expect from our technology. And, you know, let's all remember we spend $1,000 a year on an iPhone, whether we realize it or not.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Or $700 or $800 a year on an iPhone, whether we realize it or not. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We are out of time. So, Brian, you were excellent at reading my mind. So we have to wrap up. This has been great because I really wanted to get some more perspective on what you guys thought about Apple Watch pricing and what we could expect emotionally and technologically down the road. So thank you, Brian, for being here.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
Sure thing. Dave, thank you for coming along with your perspective too.
My pleasure.
And John, as always, it's great to have you here and to get your opinion as well.
You're welcome.
And to all of our listeners, thank you for joining us again today. Head over to harrys.com and use the discount code TDO to get yourself $5 off a really great razor delivered to your door, no extra charge. And harrys.com, TDO for that code. And we will see everyone again tomorrow.